Creative Brain Candy by creators for creators.
The views and opinions stated in this podcast are that of the host and their guests. They are not the views and opinions of the network Creative Brain Candy.
Hey, and welcome to the Stay Wild Trauma Child podcast. I'm Steph.
And I'm Jamie, your trauma tour guides. Please keep your hands, arms, and legs.
Oh, Jamie. Yeah. We're their hosts.
As I was saying, we are two best friends that are openly sharing their healing journeys while navigating sudden loss, parenthood, relationships, mental health, and so much more.
So this is your trigger warning that Jamie and I will be discussing highly sensitive topics, including abuse, domestic violence, and murder in most, if not all, of our episodes.
We aren't for the faint of heart. We cuss like sailors, and we have a pretty dark sense of humor. So if either of those things bother you, this is where your tour ends.
Oh, hey, Jamie. Yep. Don't forget to tell them that we aren't medical professionals.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely not medical professionals, but we probably need them.
So grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and get ready for a whole lot of laughs and maybe even a little bit of healing.
The only thing with what you're saying with friendship and embarrassment things and all that has to be let go. To me, just like any other relationship, pride and ego, there's no room in a relationship for either of those.
None. And I think one of the most valuable things that I've learned within my friendship with both Steph and Lindsay over the years, and more so in this last year, is that you and others have taught me that confrontation doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be like scary, right? So to me, telling the waitress that she fucked up my order years ago would have been like, no, I would have just eaten it, you know, because that would have been mean. And like, I was doing, you know what I mean? And You guys have shown me, it's like, you can say these things nicely, like, hey, you know, and it doesn't have to be this big, scary thing. Now, I don't think I've ever had trouble correcting the waiter because I've worked in the industry, but like in other circumstances and situations, I just can't think of one right now. Confrontation is not, it's just not a scary thing. And I think you both have shown me with the way that you have approached things or like things that we've discussed personally, you know, that you guys have quote unquote confronted people with. It wasn't some big fight, and I've always viewed it as a fight, and probably because how confrontations were dealt with in my home growing up, because it was like my way or the highway type thing. Yeah,
right. And also with confrontation, I mean, it's all about how you present the conversation. So it's that crucial conversation that you're having with somebody, and crucial conversations with anybody in your life is important, in your professional life, in your personal life, in your relationships, you know, like with your significant partner, with your friendships, all of that stuff. Confrontation is necessary, but there's a stigma with confrontation, and it's negative. Everybody relates confrontation with negativity and that it's going to be toxic, but it doesn't have to be that way. Confrontation at the end of the day is just a crucial conversation that you're having with somebody, and something that is important to you, or and making sure that there is that understanding between you and that other person, and whatever situation or problem has had arised, and that you two are both coming to a solution, you know, or an understanding, or just being able to see something from a different perspective. At the end of the day, you can agree to disagree, and it can still be okay. Like, that's okay. You're not going to agree with everything that comes out of somebody else's mouth. I mean, it's why we all have opinions, and, you know, I'm a Duke fan. I'm sure some of you guys are probably not Duke fans, but you're not going to sit here and you're not going to be like, you know, you're a stupid cunt because you like Duke. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's not going to come up. Well. That's not going to, I mean, yeah, no. You know, like, but like, that's like the simpleness that I can put behind that. Mm-hmm. It's just, we all have opinions. We all have assholes. You know, we all put our pants on the same way every single day, you know, but it's about how you present the things that you're trying to bring up to somebody else. You know, you can't come at somebody guns a swinging, because then immediately their guard is going to come up and they're going to be defensive. And it's just trying to get to that bottom line and just that understanding, not necessarily like you have to agree with what I'm saying. It's just understand each other.
There's a lot, like a lot of people confuse conflict and confrontation with yelling.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be that. And it takes a lot of personal growth to realize and to get to that that point, because a lot of times people immediately say something, get on the defensive, and that's why they yell, because they feel like they have to. But there's nothing wrong with going to somebody, hey, you did this thing. I didn't appreciate it because it made me feel like this. I just want you to know. And if you care about me, like, you'll think about it next time.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be the end of it. It doesn't have to be a big blown out battle and screaming and yelling. It's just, there was this thing. I wasn't a fan of it. That's it.
Yeah. And I think confrontation is necessary, because, like, I think it also matters who you're having that conversation with, because when you bring up those things, the person, this could be a first conversation, right? And if they start getting disrespectful and rude and saying nasty things, like, you kind of set your boundary and, like, I don't want to have this conversation this way. Like, we're not going to speak to each other this way. And this is how this is going to go. I'm walking away. And, you know, it's up to you whether you want to give them a second, third, fourth chance or not. But I totally lost my train of thought. Why does this happen to me?
Think about it, because you brought up boundaries. And that's why I think conflict is so important in any kind of relationship, because if you don't express those things, you don't have the conflicts, you don't know where the boundaries are.
Yeah.
Right? And if nobody ever has a boundary, you just feel like you're walking all over them, right? But to a certain point, it's, okay, this is my limit. This is as far as I want to go with this. Now you know. And the more you do that, the more you know what lane you guys are in, and you can live in there happier because you don't have to bump on the walls all the time.
Yeah, like, so today I actually had an issue with this today, and I was like, okay, you need to say something. And I literally sat there for about 5 minutes trying to figure out how to say what I wanted to say, because it was like, I'm feeling anxious because this person's feeling anxious, but it's not their fault and it's not my fault, and they're being snippy because they're being anxious, not necessarily mean or rude, but just like snippy. So I'm like, how do you communicate this without shaming them? You know, like, a lot of thought goes into the art of communication. And when you're trying to respectfully communicate within relationships, especially if you're hardwired to just be blunt, you know what I mean? Lindsay knows this. Like, when you're just hardwired to say what you want to say.
And we've had
to learn painfully, like, sometimes saying what you're just hardwired to say isn't the best option. It just isn't, mm-hmm. because we can come off mm-hmm. as assholes. So today I said, hey, you seem pretty tense, and everyone deserves to have a good day, including you. So why don't you just go take a breather for a minute? Because everyone deserves to have a good day, including you. And it literally worked out beautifully. But that was my short story of, like, how communication, it matters. Like, learning the art of communication mm-hmm. during disagreements, and mm-hmm. even expressing jealousy within friendships. Like, I know I experienced a lot of jealousy. That was one of the questions with Lindsay, because I always wanted to be someone's number one, because I never felt like I was my mom's number one.
Mm.
Right. And so, like, I felt like Lindsay and I had that because we spent so much time together, but she was this big bubbly personality, and she was everybody's, not best friend, but, like, good friend. And I'm like, I want that. And I almost felt like, because of the loyalty that was instilled in me within my family, Lindsay had to be my best friend. And I don't feel like I was super toxic about it, but then, like, it just felt weird becoming best friends with Jackie and, like, having all the other friendships. I didn't like it at all. It didn't feel right. until I grew up, and then it was like, I was working with Dave, and he's like, well, by technicality, you can only have one best friend. And I'm like, I disagree with that, because, like, Steph and I have a relationship that's totally different from Lindsay and I.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, and these people fill different parts of your life.
Yeah, they
who you are.
Each are a different little piece to your puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just have a big problem if there's a confrontation, because I'd get anxious, so I wouldn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And just let it go until I would snap, and then it would come out the total wrong way. But now it's different, because now I'm like, if something bugs me, I'll just say it. And if I'm being silly, it's cool, because a lot of the times, if someone cares about you, like I said before, it's the thought and everything is in the right spot, but the execution is bad. So more times than not, people just, they'll do something, and in their mind, they're trying to be nice to you, but you perceive it in a totally different way.
Perception is reality.
Yeah. I know personally for me, like, Lindsay's wired to be blunt. So am I. So sometimes when I really...
No.
Shut up. I'm like, sometimes when I don't know... And Jamie knows this, because I'll say this to her, because, like, we'll be having a conversation. But
emotional,
no, because it's not
damage.
Even... Oh, shut up.
So much.
But I'll look at her and I'll be like, look, I don't know how else to say this, because, like, the nice words are just not coming to my brain
right
now. I run
screaming.
And I hope you know, like, and I say this to Ryan at least, like, once a month, where I'm like, I hope you know me better than this by now, that, like, this is what I'm saying, but this isn't necessarily how I mean it, but I don't know how else to say it. So I'm going to say it. You can get mad about it. You can have feelings about it. But then, like, can we discuss it? Because this is how my brain is processing this situation right now. And I feel like when somebody already knows that, like, you don't have the words, like, you have no idea how to respond to whatever they've told you or their conversation, like, it helps kind of diffuse that situation because you're like, look, I've already told you. I'm going to say something. It's probably going to be fucked up because I don't know how else to say this to you right now. But then, like, Jamie will look at me and be like, well, you could have said this instead. And I'm like, well, my brain wasn't going there, so I apologize. But, like, I told you I was going to be a bitch already. Like, so you can't really be mad.
I think I cracked the code the other day when we were standing in the kitchen. Haha. That's a joke in our episodes, because whenever I reference, I'm like, we're always in the kitchen. When the other day, I was like, I don't know how to say this nicely. And I was so worked up, and I was venting about a situation that occurred this last weekend. And I was just venting to her. I'm like, I don't know how to say this nicely. And I was talking about someone else. And she was like, well, then just say it. And I was like, she's fucking stupid. It Steph looks at me and starts laughing just like that. And then we work through the feelings. And then, I mean, I still haven't talked to this person, or because I've just been busy. There's no avoidance going on there. But, and now I know more so what I need to say to her in a respectful way. But sometimes it's also important to have friends as sounding boards. Because, like, and friends that you trust that aren't going to, you know, drive a wedge in between you and the person having the conflict, if they're a good person to have in your life. This person is questionable.
I mean, to Stephanie, to your point, it took me, again, we talk about, like, it takes a lot of growth to be able to have, like, those conversations where there is conflict and, like, it's considered confrontation. And mm-hmm. I mean, I was not always the best at those conversations. It took me a really long time. I think probably within really the last several years, where I started to really kind of think about how I wanted to word certain mm-hmm. things instead of just being, you know, I'm going to say what comes to my mind and yep. you're going to like it. Like, I don't really give a fuck. Like, you're going to like it because yep. this is what's coming out right now. But, like, you know, it took me a really long time to get there. And it started with I would say things because I would be in the moment and I would be in the heat of the moment and I wouldn't know, like Stephanie, to your point, I would not know the right words to say at the mm-hmm. time, so it would just come out. But then 5 minutes later, I'd be sitting there and I'd be like, shit, that was the wrong way yep. to address that situation. Like, mm-hmm. okay, how can I go back and approach this and apologize for how I just came across, because that was rude as hell and that's not what you were trying to do and it's not going to solve anything. So again, taking accountability for how I was in that moment and in the heat of the moment, and then working through those steps, even though it's backwards, but still working through those steps, because that's all a part of the growth. Like, taking accountability and understanding your flaws and how you communicate with somebody else, and being able to better yourself, but also better the relationship that you have with that person, and being able to maintain a healthy balance of understanding and good, solid, like, communication, connection, all of those things, to be able to solve a problem that you and said person might be having. I mean, it took me a very long time to get there, you know, and I still have my moments because, again, we're not perfect. We're going to have moments of weakness. We're going to have moments of anger, but, like, it's what you do to take the steps backwards or take those steps forwards to be able to solve all of that, all of those issues, all the way that you presented yourself. I mean, it's just, it's about learning and growing.
I'm definitely the type that I'll be like, I know I said this earlier, but, like, I reread my message and this is, like, what I meant to say. I'm sorry for being a major bitch. Like, and half the time that's either a message to Will or Ryan and they're both like, yeah, we just know by now. We just know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know, but, like, I still have to say it. Like, because I'm sorry, I'm not a psycho.
Usually you'll say something like that and then you'll send a text saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sound so whatever. And I'll literally respond saying, well, sorry I was an idiot, because you wouldn't have said that unless I was being dumb. So that's on me.
I mean, if you think about it, like, that's a really huge, that's a a very good characteristic for you both to have, because it's really hard to go back to someone that you're frustrated with and apologize them for something that you said. And what you say to them, you're like, you can't say you didn't mean it, because it's like, I did. I just shouldn't have said it that way. So let's like talk about what I really mean. And I'll say it nicer. But that's a really good quality for you guys to like be able to possess, because it's really hard to go back to apologize for something when you were having a conversation about how they were in the wrong in the first place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I was an uber bitch, like a massive bitch, but I just wanted to be a little bit of a bitch. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Not a major one, like.
Just a little bit.
So I wanted to tell you the truth.
Yes.
I just didn't want to, like, you know, put your hand on the stove while telling you the truth. Like, I wasn't trying to burn you in the process. Like, that's not at all what I was trying to do. Right. You know.
But I think this is a great segue into the how do you or can you stay friends but have different opinions on opposing subjects like parenting, life, mental health, religion, family, politics, etc., etc.
Hey everyone, I'm John.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are
the Video Game Lounge Podcast.
What are you guys doing?
We're supposed to do it together, Kevin.
Time over 60.
Alright, yes, this is the Video Game Lounge Podcast.
Podcast not here for notes and news, but to talk games and drink brews. Join us every other Monday,
where we talk about what you're drinking, what you're playing, and most importantly, each episode we discuss games of past, present, and the involvement it may or may not have influenced us.
Oh, that was quick.
That's what she said. Got him.
Undoubtedly, yeah. There's same thing, no judgment. Like, Steph can believe a certain thing that I disagree with, and coming up on boundaries, have the discussion and figure out, like, what's truly important to somebody. And I could, like, I'm not religious in any way. And, you know, to support my friend, if Steph was like, I want to go to church, you know, I might not agree with it. I might not, you know, I'm not going to eat the wafer, but I'll go.
The wafer?
He did. And honestly, it wasn't long after Matt passed away. I think it was a couple weeks after Matt passed away. Will texted me one morning and was like, you know, I'm not a religious man by any means, but I am praying for you like hell. He's like, I don't even know if you believe in God, but I am praying like hell for you to get through all of this. So I don't even know if I can think of something that we honestly don't agree upon. Like, I don't want to say that. Like, I'm sure
that's the beauty of y'all's friendship, though, is that you guys have very similar. Oh, Christ. That y'all have very similar beliefs.
Yep. Yep. And that's a part of the reason we've been able to stay friends for so long, too, because morally we handle things very similarly.
Mm-hmm. But I, like, can you think of something that we don't agree upon?
Duke sucks. I don't know.
That's you and Lindsay. You and I agree upon that.
No. But in reality, no. There's like core things. No.
Not like our values and stuff like that.
No.
So I think
I can't say.
I think that answers the question. Like, I mean, have you been able to? I don't know. So let's broaden the question a little bit. Have you been able to maintain friendships with people who have very opposing beliefs with you?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Really?
One of my best friends, and I brought up religion, he is highly religious. Oh. Eric.
Oh, yes.
Okay, he is highly religious. And we have had conversations. Most of them end up while we're fishing, but like big conversations about it, and it's very important to him and everything else, and I'm not at all. And even when I got married, my ex was very religious as well. It was very important to her that someone said something about it. Like, I don't know, like a, not a hymn, but I don't know what the heck they call them. But Eric ended up reading it at my wedding because it was important to her and it was important to him and to my father and everything else. But a psalm, yeah, with a P. That doesn't make sense. But that's okay.
Jamie's purity culture is coming out.
God bless you.
Noah was.
I didn't sneeze. You know, but, you know, things like that. Like, it, just because someone has a religious angle or they have something else like that, it to me, it doesn't change any of the core moralities of a human being. Now, if their core moralities are off, then that's a reason to not be friends.
Okay, so you're, okay. That's pretty much what I was getting at, but you said it in smart man words.
Eric is also one of the few people that you can have a he can be passionate about a topic and he will not be overreactive. Like, He will listen to you because him and Pat have had some intense conversations about religion at my mom's house. And Pat is like as atheist as they come, where he will like ask you the most asinine questions about religion, this, that, and the other. Like, and Eric just sat there and answered them. And like, they didn't get into an argument. They had a, he's one of those people you want to have a difference of opinion against and talk to, because you're going to actually maybe learn something from him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, he's very knowledgeable about it. And it, he's, you know, and it's a huge belief of him and his family and everything else. And him and I can disagree all day long about that. And then, you know, we might get a little loud and everything else, but the middle of the conversation, I'll be like, all right, you want me to fill up your beer? Cause you're getting a little low. You know, it's our core moralities are still the same. So I think that's the pivotal part of it is, you know, whether you believe in religion or you don't, or certain things or you don't, it doesn't make you a good or a bad person. Just poor morals is what that is.
Yeah. I think for me, I have friends in every, they believe so many different things, but I think it's all in the approach. And like Will was saying, core morality is like, I can't stand people or be around people that start to get condescending or rude when you don't believe what they believe in. Mm-hmm. Or if they're just being downright cruel, like, I can't be friends with a racist person. That's just outright racist and cruel. So that's what I think Steph and I were getting at when we were writing this question. Actually, Miranda came up with this question, Lindsay, because I was asking people, I'm like, do you have any ideas? So, like, I can't be friends with someone who's racist. I can't, for me personally, I can't be friends with the people that are outside Planned Parenthood's, you know, harassing the women going in to get treatments. I can't be friends with those people. I could have a civil conversation with them, but like, I don't want them in my inner, I don't want to call them a friend. I could be an acquaintance, but do you get where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So I don't think that you, I personally don't believe that you can build true and close friendships with people that have opposing values if they approach them. What's the word I'm looking for, William? Because
what,
like, if you guys have opposing beliefs but they are X type of way about it,
like they're like, it's their way or the highway type thing,
aggressive, mean, condescending, like, well, you're just stupid because you think
small-minded.
I guess
you know, because if people aren't, but that, and that's another thing too, and that's a core morality to me too, is if you're not open to just understanding other people, then you're selfish. And that's a core morality in my mind.
It's like a superiority mentality where you think, like, that like you're better than everybody else and your beliefs are the only beliefs that should be had.
So
right.
I have a great one, is that someone in my life believes that I should parent my children a certain way. Lindsay teeters on those beliefs. Like, she's like, yeah, I believe, like, you know, X, Y, Z. And I'm not going to get into it because we're not going to get controversial in this episode for anybody. But, like,
what? Why not?
Fine. Doesn't take much for me.
Twisted your arm really hard.
Lucy believes that, like, we should be spanking and disciplining the children, and like, there's very, very like authoritarian, militaristic type parenting almost. And that's what Lucy believes. And Lindsay's like, you know, I'm on the line. We had this long discussion. She explained a couple days ago, like, I was spanked, and she explained her whole theory. So she's like, a little dabble do ya. I can't think of the phrase I'm looking for. Like, it, you know, don't beat your children. Whereas I'm on the line of like, I don't think you should be spanking at all, and I have my reasons, right? And so Lindsay and I can have conversations and where we have opposing beliefs, but neither of us get disrespectful. We just voice how we feel. And I don't think I even voiced how I felt that day because Noah was running around screaming in the yard. But even if I had brought it up, I don't feel like we would have had some clashing conversation. Whereas with the other person, I brought up my belief, and it was just like this very like, well, you're not parenting right, and da-da-da-da-da, and this, that, and the other. And it was attack. It was an attack on my parenting. And I can't, so I feel like that's a semi-decent example of like, you can be friends with people with different beliefs. It's all in how you deal with those discussions.
You should probably remind her next time that you live with her child and you know how her parenting works out.
How do you feel about shock collars?
Oh my god, William!
You parent, how you feel that I don't, nobody should be passing judgment on how somebody else chooses to parent their child. You know, it's all about how, essentially how you were raised, and then kind of you end up forming your own beliefs.
A big part of it to me too is, and I mean, everyone's got to parent how they want to parent, right? That's their decision. But I think at a certain point too, it also comes down to the kind of child it is too. Like, certain kids will be absolutely messed up for a long time.
I don't think that it's right for anybody to pass judgment on the way that somebody else is, that somebody else parents. I mean, unless they're doing some weird crap with their kids, like, aka you're a pedophile, not okay, or you're beating your kids, you know, like, I don't,
yeah,
yes, I believe, mm-hmm. I believe in spanking, but I don't believe in beating. There's a way that you can spank your child. I was spanked, and that's what I was explaining to Jamie. Like, I was spanked, you know. I would get a spank on my ass if I was showing my ass when I was a child, you know. So, like, it got to the point to where, like, my mom or my dad at a certain point would be like, you know, if you don't shape up, like, you're gonna get a spanking. Well, guess what? Like, my ass would shape up because I did not want that spanking. So, like, I mean, to each their own. Everybody has a different approach, but I don't think that it's okay for you to pass judgment if you have a friend that doesn't believe in that. They don't believe in that, and they don't want to spank their child.
Or even
that's
does.
Their prerogative.
I mean, I think there's certain situations, and I think, like, we can go into an hour conversation about how you should handle stuff like this, but, like, if you have a very close friend who's doing something to their, who's using spanking as a means of, like, discipline for their child, and you think that there's something going on, you know, like, I don't know, maybe they're autistic, maybe you notice they're suffering from depression at a super early age, and, like, these are things you'd notice as a third party back here, there's like, 100% a way to approach it in a loving way and be like, hey, I know this is how you were raised, but I think this might not work for your kid. And, like, here is all of the proof I have. Not proof, that's a bad word, but, like, here's everything I have that could maybe open your eyes to why maybe this isn't working for your kid. And you don't even want to say, like, addressing, there's just maybe things. And the person who opened my eyes up to how to have those conversations was actually Grace, of all people. Because the way she would approach it with me, she was like, she used to approach it really brash and, like, you know, she was very blunt, like you guys, until I was like, I'm fucking done. You can't talk to me this way. You can't tell me how to parent. I hate you. I'm never talking to you again. And now she's like, hey. And I'm like, huh, I never thought about it that way before. Thanks for telling me. Definitely not changing how I parent, but thanks for telling me. You know, like,
yeah, anybody, like if someone's got five kids in their teens and whatever, and someone has a two-year-old that's struggling a little bit, if they have something to offer, you know, hey, I understand, I see you're struggling with this, I, you know, this worked for me, like, that's kind of helping a friend out. Mm-hmm. But if you're just judging them, that's completely different.
Exactly.
Well, and most parents, because it's funny that you bring this up considering you're the only parent on the episode, most parents don't take kindly to non-parents telling them how to parent, and or what worked 36 years ago does not necessarily work today.
Yeah.
And shock collars.
Just because you have a four-legged child that needs a shock collar. Love, Fletch. But
Lindsay's child is behind her.
Is your child behind
he
you,
is
too,
behind
Ryan?
Me.
One of them?
No, he's probably eating souls. That guy, he's an absolute animal.
Literally. But,
Jinx.
But I think that's a hard snoring. Part, too. You're just snoring. Is yeah. that, like... Every child is different. The way I was parented is different than how John was parented because we're two different human beings, you know? Like, and I think that's a struggle for parents, too, is that you realize you can't, and you've realized this, Jame, you can't parent Noah the same way you parent Jace.
Absolutely not, no.
You know, like, you keep the same morals and values and, like, foundation in your parenting, you know what I mean? But, like...
They both need fundamentally totally different.
Yeah,
things.
But what Noah responds to, which I think we're still trying to figure that out, versus what Jace responds to.
So, Will, about that shock collar?
I got a link.
Just kidding. Yeah, no.
It doesn't hurt that bad. I've tried it.
Oh my God. You're not a three-year-old little boy.
Yeah, I think it also comes down to a matter of ego.
Yes,
and, like,
it does.
When you're really struggling as a parent, you know you're struggling. If you are a good parent, you know that you're struggling and you know that you're figuring it out and you feel like everyone's eyes are on you and everyone's judging you. And so it's kind of like, oof. And when somebody points it out and they don't point it out in the best way, you're like, it's a blow to your fucking ego. Because you're like, I know. And I feel like you're just calling me a bad parent. And I hear you saying all these words, but all I hear is you're a bad parent. And so it's just a matter of being able to, like, set down your pride, set down your ego, and look at the person speaking to you. And it's like, you know, do I value their opinion? Do I value their friendship? Do I value who they are? Like, morally, they don't have to be a parent. And then you take whatever they're saying at face value and you chew on it and you think about it. And that's pretty much what I do now, because I'm not closed off to any method of parenting. And because Noah came into the world and rocked my shit. He really, really did. Like, I don't know what I'm doing at all. And I don't think I ever will. And I don't think any parent out here knows what they're doing.
I was going to say, what parent does, you know, what parent does know what they're doing? Nobody knows what they're doing.
It's just like this compounding.
Right. Even our own parents at the age that we're at right now, they still don't know what they're doing. You know, we can come to them with some off the wall shit and they're going to be like, okay, I don't know how to approach this, but I'm going to talk with you and we'll work through this. I mean, it just goes back to none of us on this planet really know what we're doing. We're just navigating the best that we can through life with the community that we have chosen, the people that we have chosen to be beside us in this crazy world that we live in today. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's all about the people that you choose. It's all about the people that you want beside you, you know, the people that you value. Like Stephanie said, the only person that's on here that is a mom is Jamie. But, like, I know that when I do have conversations, because I have people in my life who are parents, like, with anybody that has any children, the first thing that comes out of my mouth before I even say anything about parenting styles or anything like that is, look, I'm not a parent, but, like, this is just my opinion. Like, this is my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. You don't have to take it at all because I'm not a parent and I don't know how difficult it is. I have no idea. And I give props to all of the parents that had to sit here and raise their kids in the middle of a pandemic, especially the ones that had to work full-time jobs and then also teach their children school and monitor them while they were going to school, because that was, I'm sure that was hell on wheels for parents, mom and dads, you know, stay-at-home dads, stay-at-home moms, full-time working dads and full-time working moms. Like that shit was crazy. And I admire every single parent that had to do that, because I know that that was a lot of work.
I think that was the breaking point for a lot of parents, and not to go off on a tangent, but I think that was a breaking point for a lot of parents and people for different reasons, but for parents specifically, because, like, you are with your children 24/7, right? And you had to assume every role in their life that we have kind of delegated out as a society. Like, they go to school, they go to daycare, they go here, they go to their grandparents, and, like, all of that was stripped, right? And so I think that's when a lot of parents were like, wow, I'm not really a good parent. Because I have been able to delegate, and it doesn't mean that, like, you being a good parent means you don't lose your shit every now and again, but really learning the true art of patience and balancing everything, it's been a wild ride, and it's shaped, if you kind of, I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say, but if you let your kids take the rein in the way that you are learning from them, like you parent them to learn from them and learn how they need to be loved and parented. And if you approach it that way, that's the best way I've learned so far, is just paying attention to how they're telling you, because they will tell you. They just don't use normal words. Even up to, like, Jason's age, she still doesn't use normal words to communicate what she needs from me. And so it's really just becoming in tune with, like, it just makes you, I feel like if you're a good parent, it makes you a good person overall, because you really have to pay attention to body language and, like, patterns, and you have to pay attention to so fucking much that you wouldn't normally do. But Steph and I have had this conversation many times. There she goes. There she goes.
I think it's blast off.
Lindsay took some stomach stuff earlier, y'all.
Yeah, no, but I get what you're saying.
We can cut out my 5-minute rant about how parenting makes you a better person. It can. I mean, I feel like every circumstance in life can, but, like, and you can explain away, but that's how parenting has made my life better.
I mean, it's a it unfortunately, none of us can speak upon that because none of us are parents, but it's...
Well, even your relationship with Matt, like, you really valued him and loved him, and you guys were total opposites, just like me and my children are opposites in some ways. And you mm-hmm. valued him, and you loved the hell out of him, and, like, you guys clashed for the longest time, and I'm not saying you parented him. Okay, yeah. You kind of parented him. But because you loved him so much, you finally, like, set down your pride and your ego, and you were like, how do I love Matt the way Matt is? How do mm-hmm. I better understand? And it's literally what I just said about parenting. Like, you had to start paying attention to shit you probably wouldn't have before. And now that you have learned that skill, you apply it to different people. Like, you were talking about how you and Will's relationship has progressed.
Well, and I think that's something you have to learn in all your relationships, to like learn to meet your people where they're at or accept them for where they're at. And just like, if you are seriously going to choose to have this person in your life, you have to choose to love all of them. You can't just pick and choose mm-hmm. the parts of them that you want to love, because only loving certain parts isn't going to make those parts grow anymore and make all the parts that you don't necessarily quote unquote like go away. You know what I mean? You can't
want to change them either.
No, you can want better for them. Right. You can want better for them, but inherently you can't, you're right. You can't want to change them. If you want to change somebody, like, you don't, I guess in a sense you don't love them, because, or you're not accepting them for who they are, where they're at that point in their life. You know, you're muted, Jame.
Oh, hello. I mute myself occasionally when I need to cough so I can help Steph with her editing. It's my minor contribution.
For people who don't see the behind the scenes. Yeah, there it is. Before we had pressed record to record.
That was the quickest shit I've ever seen you
take. Yeah, before we had pressed record this evening, I'd let everybody know that I had just did a Dr. Missions colon cleanse. So if I had to excuse myself for any reason, that would be why. So that's why everybody was like, there she goes.
I even sang a little song.
It was so wonderful. My stomach is unleashing the wrath of...
You've always had stomach issues.
I have.
For as long as I've known you, so...
I really, truly have.
I think wrapping up this episode, I was going to ask two last questions. What has this particular friendship taught you about walking away from unhealthy relationships in your life? And then the final wrap-up question would be, what is one of your favorite stories from your friendship over these last many years? So, what has this particular friendship taught you about walking away from unhealthy relationships in your life?
For me, with the relationship with Steph, it would have to go back to what I was saying before about, you know, with other relationships and this and that, where Steph would see me differently than I see myself. Throughout the course of the years, she's helped me become a better human being and helped me have more positive views of myself. And that just naturally made it easier for me to be more secure on my own and walk away from something that's toxic.
So, just generally speaking, just from things over the years that Jamie and I have gone through, or even things that I've gone through with other friends, everybody has a bare minimum of what they're willing to accept in their life from certain people. And I think that I got to a certain point to where I was like, you know what, when I set clear boundaries, and those boundaries are known of what I will and won't tolerate if somebody continues to cross that boundary or make me feel like I am not worthy, then it's just time to kind of cut that cord. And if it's cutting that cord for a little while, then that's okay. But I think from my relationship with Jamie and us setting boundaries with each other and us kind of learning like the way that we need to receive love and like kind of like what our love languages are and how we communicate with one another, like I have fully accepted that there are just some relationships within my life, and there I go again.
Damn, she cut out again.
Frozen. I'm back.
She starts singing.
Yes. I have just I have fully accepted that sometimes it's okay to just walk away. It is okay to walk away from people, and that's fine. Some people need to be walked away from, and it doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out argument. Sometimes it's just, okay, this is where you're at in your life, and this is where I'm at in my life, and if we talk again in the near future, cool, and if we don't, I wish you the best of luck. No hate, no hard feelings, but you have your shit, I have my shit, and we're just not aligning right now. I think that's one of the things that I've learned with me and Jamie, especially through some of our ups and downs that we have had. You know, I'm like, it's okay to say goodbye to somebody for a little while, and if a little while turns into forever, then that's okay too. You can still have love for that person, but you don't have to talk to them anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think for my relationship with you, I think when we first started talking again a few years ago, and you were telling me about why you had walked away from some certain friendships, I was like, oh my god, that's such a radical idea, you know, setting boundaries in that way. And it almost, like, hearing it for the first time almost sounded wrong, and I was like, wow, that just seems kind of bitchy, like, she didn't call her for X number of months. So, and then you started explaining, like, you know, I had mentioned these things, we had talked about these things, and I finally made the decision to walk away, and you basically explained it how you just explained it now. And I think listening to you say those things all those years ago, of course, didn't settle in until this past year for me, but I thought it was just so out there that I was like, wow, it is okay. It is okay to walk away from people under the circumstances that Lindsay was just talking about. So that's my piggybacking off of Lindsay's.
So for Will and I, again, because Will came into my life when I was 16, that was 3 years after my parents had gotten divorced. So my brother wasn't around. My dad wasn't around. I did not have a good relationship with my dad. So Will has always set the standard for, like, what I see love should be. Because from day one, he has loved me for who I am completely. Like, he has never tried to change anything about me. He has never not supported me in something that I've done. He's never not, even when we weren't talking, he was there for me. I remember one night, I literally hadn't talked to him in months. And I don't even think I really liked you that much at this point, but it was one of those moments, one of those times in our relationship where I texted him because I knew he would answer me. I'm like, that sounds really shitty, but I knew he would answer me because I was texting him. And I asked him a question because a friend of mine was a bartender at O'Connor's. And I'm talking, it's like 11:30, 11:45 at night on, like, I think it was a Thursday or a Friday. It definitely wasn't like a Saturday. And I asked him a question about, she had a flat tire and how to change a tire and this, that, and the other. And the next thing I know, Will's walking through the back door of the bar. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he's like, well, you needed my help. And I was like, no, I just asked you a question. I didn't expect you to get out of bed and drive 25 minutes to the bar that I was at to come change some girl's tire that you don't even know. And he's like, yeah, but I'm here. You needed my help, and I am here. So, like, he's, for the longest time, and still to this day, like, he's set the standard for me of, like, how I want people to show up for me in my life. I've told myself for a long time that if a man who I'm not romantically involved with can show up for me in these ways, then most people in my life should be able to fall within this spectrum. But the man that I choose to spend the rest of my life with has to meet these levels or exceed them, you know. And I feel like that's helped me. And I got lost in that spectrum with Matt. And I had this conversation with Will a couple months ago that I had told him. I was like, look, I always thought I was in love with you. Like, I always thought I was in love with you and that this, that, and the other. And I was like, and I had to walk away from you at one point with your relationship with Danielle in order to allow Matt to be the man that I needed him to be. And then Matt literally stepped into every position that Will had ever laid out as being, like, the blueprint for me. So he's definitely helped. And that's probably, like, you ruined me, Will. That's why I stayed single for so long. Nobody could fucking fill those slots.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that I was I've been a good friend.
You've always been a very good friend to me, and one that I don't know how I've made it through the last, would have made it through the last 2 years without.
Same. I could say the same exact thing, because things got wild for a while.
They definitely did.
And you remember, I was at the throw my arms up and meteor hits me, it hits me.
Yes.
Stage, you know.
I hear you.
I've been there.
Remember you guys are going to mention before, and I don't want to forget this story. That's why I want to say it. One of the favorite stories or whatever. Speaking of tires, I was on my way to Steph's house one night, and I drive by, and these two women are just fumbling trying to change this tire. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on. So I help them change the tire, and they didn't have the tools, so one of my other friends stopped by, and you know, I got it done, whatever. I go clean up, and I go up to Steph's house, and it turned out it was the girl that was doing her hair. Remember this? In the Kohl's park, the drive-in to go to Kohl's, I changed this girl's tire randomly, just stopped, because I just saw her, she was screwed. And then I don't know if it was the same night or the night after, and it was a girl that was doing your hair in your mom's kitchen. She's like, wait, why do you look familiar? I'm like, didn't I just change your tire?
What was she doing my hair for? Like, coloring it? Or?
Yeah, or cutting, I don't know. I don't know these things about hair.
I'm trying to think of, like, who would have done my hair.
It might have been Kelsey.
Oh, that'd be funny if it was Kelsey. Do you remember what kind of vehicle it was? Because Kelsey had a Volkswagen Bug for a long time, and then she had a Dodge Nitro.
That would have been
funny if it was Kelsey, though. I mean,
but I remember coming in the kitchen, and the girl's like, wait a second.
You would have remembered Kelsey's boobs, tire. Though. Just saying. Everybody remembers Kelsey's boobs. They're massive. Did we lose Lindsay?
She said, my connection just went all the way out. She lives out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, no.
So I said, you can text me your story if you want, and I'll read it. But do you have a favorite story with Will, or are we using the tire story?
I have to think what my favorite story with Will would be.
God, I'd have to say one of my favorite memories with Lindsay, and I hate that she's not here to hear this because she would be dying laughing, is once upon a time, my mom and I lived in Pennsylvania for a very brief amount of time, just background. And I guess my mom had met this woman up there. Her name was also Kim. She had a son named Guy. He was a pretty troubled kid. He had been through some shit. And somehow, I literally don't know how this transpired. This is how much I was shielded. Stuff was kept from me. I would have preferred a little bit more transparency because I'm like, next thing I know, we're moving back to North Carolina. Ed, my stepfather at the time, is going to follow us down eventually, and we're now roommates with this girl, Kim, and her son, Guy, and him and I have to go to school together. Weird. And mind you, I'm like a fourth grader.
Why did I not know this?
So, yes. So, like, Kim and her son, Guy, are living in this one room of the apartment, and my mom and I are sharing the other room of the apartment. I'm like, okay, like, you know, he's all right. So we start going to school. He's having a lot of issues, and we fought a lot. They finally got their own apartment within the complex. We just fought a lot. We butted heads, and I don't remember a lot of it, but I do remember that we were playing soccer out at recess in fourth or fifth grade. Oh. And yeah, you know the story. And Guy was just talking shit like he always does, and I was very quiet. I did not stand up for myself. So what do? I go to my bitchy best friend, because she was bitchy even back in fourth grade. Nobody messed with Lindsay. And I was, you know, Guy's just running his mouth again, and go back out in the field, and she's kind of watching. She's playing basketball, of course. All the tough girls play basketball. And and he shoots the ball at me, and intentionally, and I can't remember if he knocked me over, like, or he ran into me. I don't even remember how it transpired. I just know that he had run into me, or the ball hit me in the face, or the shin, or, like, I was hurt. And I didn't get hurt. Like, I'm not a baby. I wasn't a crybaby. Like, I had fallen off trees. I was Jacelyn as a kid. And I doubled over or fell down. And without hesitation, Lindsay left where she was standing, and she marched right out, and she punched him square in the face. I mean, no words were shared. This wasn't a scrap. This was a full-blown man punch to the face. And the kid was out. But that was probably one of my favorite Lindsay stories.
I'm trying to think of a... Oh, God, we have so many memories together that I'm like, I can't even think of, like...
Yeah.
Oh, God.
How about when I stole Chris's sandals?
What?
We were up at your house, and I ran out with Eric. We went to the liquor store. and it was dark, and I didn't know whose sandals it was, and I realized I was wearing Chris's, and I called you. I was like, make sure he doesn't beat me up when I get back.
Oh, yeah, because you and Chris weren't, like, friends yet. Oh, yeah, God. Yeah. I had a lot of good times. I mean, when I turned 21, Will and I thought it was a great idea to go to the bar and stay out till 3 o'clock in the morning quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Or what about coming back from New York?
Oh, when I got pulled over. Is that what you're going to talk about?
Yep.
Oh, so, God.
Steph hadn't been drinking for hours, so she's driving. Cop pulls over, and he's like, hey, we're going to do a field sobriety test. And Steph's like, okay, sure, okay, no big deal. Like, whatever, I'm fine. Cop's like, yeah, I don't think you are. And then our other friend Jeff, who has been drinking all night, never stopped.
Blastered.
Hammered. Cop, he's like, I'll drive. Cop's like, all right, let me give you a field sobriety test. And they're like, yeah, you can drive. And we're like, what? What just happened? Like, the sober one can't drive, and the guy that's drunk can drive? Like, what?
Not even drunk. Like, Jeff was basically passed out in the front seat of my car. And
during the whole time, the cop comes up to the window, and randomly his phone goes off, and his ringtone was Snow Informer.
So he was like maybe Will's age when he pulled us.
I was like, bro, what are we doing here?
Oh my God. We have a lot of memories together. I remember the night that we went to, I think it was a party at Jeff Lima's house, and I drove your truck, and that was the first time I had like ever driven a big vehicle, and Will had only had this truck for like, I don't know, a couple months. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so scared I'm gonna hit something. And Will's like, Stevie, that's why we have insurance. He's like, just don't hit anything big. He's like, but if you hit like a curb or something, it's okay. I don't care. Jesus Christ. Oh, goodness.
Oh my gosh.
So many good times over 17 years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, Jane.
Lindsay's gone MIA completely. It's okay. Oh. We'll talk in about a month.
You got 2 hours in tonight with her.
No, this is literally how it happens. She'll be like, she'll call me, we'll have a great conversation, and like, either I'm like, okay, I gotta go, I do something, take this call, I'll call you right back. Or she'll do the same thing, I'll call you right back, and we don't talk for like a month. And then this is literally the cycle of our friendship at this point in our lives.
Will and I could, like, I'm telling you, 3 days was like our limit, especially when I still lived in Connecticut. Like, if we went more than, so first of all, we had to talk every day. If it wasn't every day, it was every other day. But we couldn't go like more than 3 days without seeing each other. Or like one of us was like, I'm telling you, people would think that we were possessive exes if they saw our phones.
Yep.
I think Lindsay and I spent like a good, I don't know. We spent a good, I can't even think how many years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We spent a good 10 years pretty much living together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were up each other's asses for a little bit after high school. I mean, every day. Every second of every day. In the bathroom, she would come in and shit while I showered. We were up each... Like, we were just conjoined twins.
That's more like Kendra and I.
She said, look at me always dropping calls and losing internet. We were just... So I think we've just got... Not that you can ever get that out of the way, because when you find your person, you find your person. Yeah. But, like, I just know that she's good and she knows that I'm good, and that's our relationship. Like, we can call each other, but we're so busy each day. And it's not that we're too busy for each other, but I do text her when I think about her, and she texts me. It's just not as frequent. I think we didn't get burnt out on each other. That's not the right word at all.
You've just been in very different phases. Like, you were a young mom.
Yeah.
So, like, that... puts a natural divide between people when you become a young parent and your friends are not going down those paths. Like, we know, like, most of our friends in the group didn't have kids until later in life, right, Will? Most of them were like in their early, like, late 20s, early 30s. Like,
yeah, for the most part,
most of them didn't have kids until like all their kids are still pretty young, you know?
Yeah, like, and then there's just kind of like a natural silence, and there's nothing wrong with that, because
it's different phases.
You have a whole other human being to take care of at that point, you know, and not even pay attention to. Like when people get in relationships, there's a natural, I don't want to say silence, because that's not entirely healthy, but like it just gets a little bit quieter because you're spending more energy into the person you're considering being your life partner, and that's understandable.
Well, and it's no different when your friends start getting married versus they're just dating, or like you're the single one and all your friends are starting, like you're just in different phases of life. So like, what are priorities? Like you and I hung out a lot because it was easy for me to pick up and come to your house, even though you had Jacelyn, but I didn't have children. So it was easy for me to drop what I was doing and be like, all right, I'm going to go hang out at Jamie's. But you didn't have the same flexibility to just, you know, leave the kids and come to my house.
I mean, I did and I could have. And we've had this conversation so many times. But like, I wouldn't be able to enjoy my time. You wouldn't have been able to enjoy your time as much.
It'd been much, much smaller amount of time. Like maybe you could have come for an hour or two, and opposed to me being able to spend all day at your house or whatever, you know. But and I know that with a lot of my friends that have kids or whatnot, but it's just the progressions in life where relationships change because of...
Yeah. And like the difference between getting married and having children is that your spouse can hopefully wipe their ass and feed themselves. And like with parenthood, it's like...
Ideally.
You have this ideally. Ideally. No judgment. But it's like... with a human, it's like you have to do all of these things for them.
Yeah, and for a child.
As Will knows, because he's going to be featured on our mental health episode as well. But when you're balancing...
I'm totally down.
What did you say?
I said I'm fully down for that.
So when you're balancing that, as you know, Will knows, I'm sure you know, between delegating your mental health, your work, your dog, your home life, your bills, like everything that just piles up, it's like there's just some days... that turn into weeks and weeks that turn into months.
Oh, for
and you're
sure.
like, holy shit. Sure. And you months. Add parenthood on top of
and,
that.
I mean, I could only imagine with having an actual child that's like so dependent, because I mean, I can just put my dog in my room and go do what I got to do. But even that sometimes after work and everything else, it's like, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I said, take Noah and put him in dog form. And that's what Will has as Fletcher.
God bless you. I know you did not sneeze, but I don't know any other way to say that. And no, I'm not religious.
He is just... You think, like, snipers, right? Like, someone in the military that's a sniper, and then someone that's, like, a competitive eater. Give him, like, load him up with cocaine and make him super strong. And then give him four legs and agility, and that's my dog.
Exactly the same description of my son, except two legs instead of four. But sometimes four, when he's like really like feeling demonic that day, and he wants to crawl on his hands and his feet, not his knees, his hands and his feet, just kind of spider it.
So I ordered a pizza one night, a medium pizza for myself.
For Fletcher.
Took the dog out to pee.
For Fletcher, yes.
Right? So I take dog out to pee, bring him inside. I'm like, oh, the pizza's here. Great. So I put the pizza on the stove in the box, and I went into my bedroom to grab a pair of slippers because my feet were cold. I come out of my room, and that, my house is small, so in a matter of literally 30, 40 seconds.
It's no different than walking from our kitchen to your bedroom.
Okay.
He ate half of the top of the box cardboard and the entire pizza.
Oh, my God.
There was another time Tara and I were here, and I got a dozen chocolate glazed donuts, and I walked into my bedroom, I think to get her bag, because she puts her bag in my closet so the dog doesn't eat her stuff. And he ate the entire box of donuts.
Oh, William.
All 12.
Have you not learned that you need to put stuff in the microwave?
It's the guy, he'll open it.
The microwave? How does he open the microwave? Put it on top of the refrigerator.
He opens the door to go downstairs so he can pee on a freaking washing machine.
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's a psycho.
He's a psycho.
But he's not mean.
He's so cute.
But I also feel like we're talking about Noah right now. Mm-hmm. Except
Noah wouldn't pee on the washing machine if we let him.
He, oh my God, you know Calvin and Hobbes?
Yes.
My kid's Calvin.
Mm. Oh man.
Like 100%. I just made the connection. But yeah, no, there's just, yeah. So Lindsay and I have a decent understanding because I'm just very transparent. Like, Noah is an amazing kid and I don't want to change anything about him. Same with Jacelyn, but they are both incredibly strong-willed kids. And I have accepted not defeat or even like settling into this life, but I'm like, I committed to this and they need all of me when I can give it.
Yeah.
And so now I And I'm very transparent about that with my friends. Like, my kids come first. They have to come first. Because if I don't, this is a very dire situation. They're either going to become scientists that rule the world, or we have a breaking bad on our hands. Like, this is a delicate balance here. And I need to give them the best of me during this phase of my life. And it doesn't mean I'm losing myself and my mom identity, but, like, it's a delicate balance. We're just trying to figure out.
Focus in life changes. That's all.
What?
Your focus has to change for them. Mm-hmm. And it's not a selfish thing. Like, if friends get upset or anything, it's actually a selfless thing, because you're giving a huge part of your time to them. Mm-hmm. Because they need you. Like, yeah, your friends need you, but they're a phone call away and everything's good. Your kids, like, literally need you to eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I had kids, I mean, I apologize to everybody. I'm full committed. That's just what it is. It's how it has to be.
Especially exactly. In those early years.
Yep.
Because the early years are, like, they're not the worst.
They're the formative.
They're the most impactful for them.
They're the formative years. They're the most important years. They literally need you for everything. Whereas my daughter, who's now 10, she can pee by herself. She can shower by herself. You know, she can feed herself. She can do most everything by herself. And so now I'm turning more into emotional support instead of physical support, where I kind of emotional support for my son, but I'm really just
a punching bag.
Yeah.
Shock collar. Worked for my dog.
He's an Aries and he has a lot of big feelings all the time. Which Steph, I'll tell you about this TikTok I saw the other day that I thought was absolutely fascinating, but it was talking about how, like, I'm never going to be able to reword this correctly. But essentially how when you're having big feelings as a child, you need a very calm sounding board. Did I send that to you? Because it teaches you how to form and meld your emotions. Because so if that person is very reactive and responsive, it's literally teaching you how emotions are to be dealt with.
Oh, I think you did send know. That to me where it was like, you can't keep a stone face when your child is upset or something like that. You have to give them...
There's that one, but there was another one. I have to find it. I sent it to Zach, but it was fascinating because they also, of course, knowing me at this point, guys, included science and studies that had been done on this. But it was just talking about how, yeah, if your toddler is feeling really, really big emotions, you can't be super reactive. You have to show empathy, which so ties into what I sent you, because you're literally, by how you respond to their big emotions, you're teaching them how to respond to others, how to deal with their own. And the woman knows the man explained how that actually forms in your brain. Like, she was using all of these big words that I'm never going to be able to repeat, but how these, like, pathways are being created in your brain as a small child when they see you react this way, or how you react to their big emotions. It was insane.
Oh, I'm sure.
But now we're kind of going over into the mental health and parenting episodes. So if you guys are interested, tune into those, probably June. It was very nice talking to you, Will, and Lindsay, who's no longer here.
Yes.
Yes, thank you for joining us, William.
Thank you for having me here. It's been good. It's fun.
It's interesting, right?
It's interesting, and it can be there's a lot to do with it. You know, a lot more topics and discussions and stuff, and it's good. It's good for friendship too.
Yeah.
You know,
I liked having outside perspectives too. It was nice having two other people to bounce ideas off and just hear different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was.
I agree.
It's like Steph was saying, it was very good to have yours and Lindsay's opinion, because while we all have very similar opinions on things, it's interesting to hear how other people say those, because I am not the most well-spoken human being, and Steph and I can be just more crass. So it was...
And it was nice to have a male perspective on it. William's officially the first male on Stay Wild Trauma Child. We know, too, that'll be very jealous that you were the first.
Yeah, but Will should be on many more episodes. Steph and I have we've wanted to introduce people like Logan and Will and Lindsay, people that we definitely want to introduce as kind of like our staple guests, because we value their opinions. And
I'll do this gladly anytime.
Everyone meet Will. Everybody likes Will as opposed to everybody hates Chris.
How ironic. They got slapped last weekend.
But again, thanks for listening to us, guys, and have fun listening to our outro, because here it comes in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We are so grateful to those of you who have allowed us to take up space in your lives and supporting us while we share some of our most vulnerable moments.
As James said, your support means the world to us. So we would absolutely love to know your thoughts on the show. So please leave us a review on any of our platforms. And also make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The links are posted in our show notes.
This concludes your tour of Stay Wild, Trauma Child. Please remain seated until...
Oh, God, James. Thank you for listening. We love you. And as always,
stay wild.